Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889. From our studios in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. The Louisiana Eats team just loves to take a road trip, especially when we can take all of our listeners along vicariously. Buckle your seatbelts. On this week's show, we're headed to Mamou, Louisiana, for the annual event, Le Grand Hurrah. It seems that many of the Prairie Cajuns who reside in Ville Platte, Mamou, and the surrounding area are big fans of Louisiana Eats and listen regularly on our affiliate station, KRVS. Camille Fontenot, who heads the Evangeline Parish Tourist Commission, and her fellow Mamou booster, Valerie Cahill of the Hotel Kazan, invited us to Mamou for a weekend of Cajun-style hospitality. How could we say no? And do we have some incredible stories to tell and people to introduce you to from that magical trip? We'll make an early morning visit to the legendary Fred's Lounge, eat our weight in Cracklins and Boudin, and introduce you to Winky and Chicken O'Quinn, two of the movers and shakers of the annual celebration of Cajun culture known as Le Grand Hurrah. We're doing the two-step and talking in Cajun French on this week's Louisiana Eats. About an hour's drive north from Lafayette, Evangeline Parish spreads out 680 square miles on the Cajun Prairie. Among its rice, crawfish, and soybean-producing farms, the most populated towns include Ville Platte and Mamou, about a 20-minute drive apart. Ville Platte has a population of close to 7,000. Mamou has less than half of that. In Mamou's sleepy downtown, its main street is less than a mile long, with only one streetlight hovering above the storefronts and shops. That's where you'll find the Hotel Kazan, where the Louisiana Eats crew was hosted by Valerie Cahill.
I'm Valerie Cahill, and we are in front of the historic Hotel Kazan. And this building was built the same year that Mamou became a city, 1911. And you may know that Mamou was a planned city, so that's the reason we have the wide walkable streets. We've got the benches. It's only 1.4 square miles. It's a Cajun-flavored Mayberry. And so when this building was built, it was originally built by our founder, if you will, Kazan Fontenot. And it was built as a bank in 1911. It operated as a bank, did very well. You see, the bank stayed at the corner, and if you can believe this, Mamou used to be the absolute epicenter of everything that was going on. So the cotton brokers were come here. By the 50s, this hotel was added on. And that's the period of time that Mamou was just absolutely packed. This whole wide street would be filled with cars, diagonally parked. We are here because we are totally excited and looking forward to Le Grand Hurrah Festival. And this is the brainchild of Winky and Chicken O'Quinn. And the focus is on the culture because just like we have to eat things to save things, we have to listen to things to save things. And so this is going to be a wonderful music-filled day. Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys are going to play. Gino Delafosse, the number one Zydeco act in the nation by a country mile. And many other acts. And as you know, there will be a kala contest with Poppy Tooker. Everyone's very excited. Arts and crafts. And what I want you to know is this happens every single year. And next year, it's going to be even bigger because there's been some Lafayette involvement, but it's all coming here all the way, and it's going to be great, and you really should join us.
Outside of the hotel is a giant lighted marquee. As a surprise for our arrival, the sign said, "Welcome, Poppy Tooker and judges for the Kala Cooking Contest." Okay, Valerie, I have to tell you the truth. I can't believe I had to come to Mamou to finally see my name in light.
Oh, no.
I have finally made the big time.
Well, you are finally home is how we see it, because everybody is more than excited about your participation at the fest. And I want to say that you brought something home to where it really belongs, because Kala is virtually unknown in Evangeline Parish. But because of you and the slow food movement and how we've gone from the original sweet kala towards the savory kala, as you know, when the farmers are growing the rice out in the fields, that's the same fields that have the crawfish. And that makes a wonderful savory kala, the crawfish kala. So bringing you back here, it's perfect for us. You're the jewel in the crown, and everyone's excited you're here.
Poppy, I want to take you over and introduce you to Don and Judy that own this cafe.
Our first stop was Crazy Cajun's Cafe.
Good morning.
The charming breakfast spot was packed with locals and visitors alike, drinking coffee and eating breakfast, all with a side of kala. Once the crowd died down a bit, we spoke to the proprietors standing just behind the counter.
I'm Don Sisha, and this is my wife Judy, and we're the co-owners of the Crazy Cajun Cafe in Mamou. We've had it for a year, and it's been open for 2 years.
We were so amazed to walk in the door and discover that you all had a special menu that has kala on them. Tell me about what incited you to do this.
Well, here in Cajun country, you know, we have like beignets, pancakes, donuts, but we had never heard about these little rice cakes. And so we were very intrigued by the simplicity of the recipe.
And we always have leftover rice, so.
Yeah, we always have leftover rice, so that was really fun to do. And we love it, and our customers are really excited about this new item on our menu. They're bought over.
So are you all from Mamou?
I'm originally from the area. I went to school in Mamou, but we're currently living in Eunice. And my husband, Don, is from Santa Monica, California.
Well, this is something completely different.
We have an Italian and a Cajun, and we turn
him. So sometimes they call me the Cali Cajun, you know?
You were describing the scene for us here on Mardi Gras. What makes the Mamou Mardi Gras so special?
Mainly, I think it's because it's one of the last traditional Mardi Gras, where it's just back how it was way back when.
It's not like a New Orleans style where there's floats and beads.
Or candy or anything.
The members of the Mardi Gras crews ride horseback and go throughout the countryside begging for ingredients to make their gumbo.
Sixth Street is closed down for about 2.5 days. And of course, across the street is the world famous Fred's Lounge. You know, they're only open one day a week, and that's Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m, like today. And they're closed the rest of the week, except for the week of Mardi Gras. Then they're hardly never closed for that week.
They're open all week.
So it's a lot of people come from all over just to go to Fred's.
Do you get a lot of visitors from out of town?
Yeah, all over the world. Every week.
All over the world.
Every week?
Every week. And then the other thing is people don't realize is the cyclists. The route that goes from San Diego, California to Florida. I didn't know anybody would do that, yeah. But
it comes
do
through Mamou.
It actually travels through Mamou. Who would have known, you know?
And so we always have a restaurant full of bikers, you know, passing through.
Yeah. Last Saturday we had, was it 38?
We had 30 cyclists here. From all parts of
all
the country and the world.
There was a guy here from Chicago, and he flew to San Diego, and then he starts his run. And then they go from San Diego to Florida. And they go about 60 miles a day, so they're about 6 weeks in when they get to Louisiana.
Yeah.
But they still have 1,000 miles to go.
And they're hungry.
Then they're hungry.
They're very hungry.
They come equipped to eat.
Yeah. They're very hungry, and they get so excited when they can eat good Cajun food. So we fill them up before they get back on their bikes.
I guess all roads lead to Mamou.
Yeah, sometimes it seems that way.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike.
When we come back from a short break, we'll head across the street to visit the infamous bar that travelers from around the state, country, and world flock to every Saturday morning, Fred's Lounge. Stay tuned.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Rouse's Markets and from Ralph Brennan's Redfish Grill. From dock to pot, offering 9 varieties of fresh Gulf fish daily. Lunch, dinner, and private events at 115 Bourbon Street in the French Quarter. If you're just joining us, Louisiana Eats is on a road trip to Evangeline Parish for the annual event, Le Grand Hurrah. We just finished our breakfast at Crazy Cajuns in downtown Mamou, and now we'll head across the street to the town's most infamous bar, Fred's Lounge, where the party had been raging since 8 a.m. Every Saturday morning, traditional Cajun and Zydeco bands play live at Fred's Lounge for a dedicated group of regulars and visitors. As I sign their guest book, I notice names of travelers from across the state and country, as well as a few hailing from outside the U.S. While the Louisiana Eats crew drank spicy Cajun Bloody Marys and cheap beer, it was apparent why Fred's draws such a crowd. You don't have to be a local to get caught up in this jamboree. As the Zydeco music played, a dozen couples crowded the dance floor, two-stepping in the traditional Cajun way, bobbing and turning like little birds. Between songs, a woman read ads into a microphone as part of the live radio show that has played on KVPI 1050 AM for more than 55 years.
And not broadcast, they are now moved, but not sponsors. Fred's Lounge, True Value Rotary Paint, Piggly Wiggly, Lakeview RV Park and Beach, we'll see Jack Miller's Food Products. Let's hear it for Donny Broussard and Étoile de la Louisiane.
Among the smiling faces in Fred's was Camille Fontenot, one of the locals who'd invited us to visit.
I'm Camille Fontenot, and I am the head of a tourism in Evangeline Parish, and I'm also the director of the Chamber of Commerce in Ville Platte, which is in La Paroisse Evangeline. And I was a teacher for 37 years, and I'm doing this now, and I'm loving it. I know all my people. And I can't think of anything more fun than having people come in and enjoy all of what we have to offer, which is a lot of camaraderie, good food, good music, and I think the best of people.
Camille explained the role the radio station, KVPI, plays in the community.
Well, KVPI is our home station. What we really like about KVPI, and which makes Evangeline Parish special, I think, is that the radio station is bilingual. Every morning at 7:30, there is a newscast, and it's all in French. And of course, besides giving the news, as I guess what we call a regular radio station would give, this gives the local news. And it tells who died, and where they are exposed, and their family. And so we have a little joke that we say sometimes, we'll have to be up early enough to listen to KVPI tomorrow morning to find out if we're still alive. So we also get, you know, we ask, for instance, last week or 2 weeks ago for Easter, I wanted guinea eggs because we pock eggs here. We knock eggs and we have egg fights. And pocking comes from Jour de Pâques, which is Easter. But if you can pock a guinea egg to a guinea egg, now it has to be equal, you can have a guinea fight that lasts maybe 10 or 15 minutes, but it's hard to find guinea eggs. So I called Fausta Cafe and asked them if anybody knows anybody has guinea eggs. And by that afternoon, someone from Opelousas brought me 6. So that's what KVPI is, and we call it keeping Ville Platte informed. And that's just what we say it is.
tell me the story about the man who you heard on the radio.
Well, you know, years ago, in this part of the country, or in our parish, for instance, and most rural parishes, people spoke French only. And when it was time for them to go to school, unfortunately, in those years, which I was going to say probably were the 40s after World War II and a little bit before my time, but my mother was a teacher, but they were forbidden to speak French in school. And they wanted to get all that out. They thought that was a cultural bad thing for, it was no culture, and it meant you were more or less, you know, not the high class, which of course now we know how silly that was. But anyway, one little boy, which of course I'm listening to the radio at my house about 6 months ago in the morning before going to work. I have the radio on and I'm in my bathroom. My husband's listening to the other room as we usually drink coffee and listen. And this man, who I have no idea, but he's from this parish, gets on the radio and they're talking about speaking French, la langue française. And he says, you know, Mr. Jim, he says, I really want to tell you something that I think that I want to share this with y'all, because this happened to me almost 60 years ago. He said, I'm from a little community, Los Opai, you know, which is a little place on the other side of Chitanya. And he said, when mom and I went to school the first time, I had to wait because I had no shoes. But then after the crops came in and all, Papa said, I will go to school. So he said, I got my shoes and I went there. And of course, some laughed at me because I was late in getting there. And I only spoke French. And I only understood French. So he says, I sat in my classroom and I tried to listen to my teacher. And he said, I didn't take part in anything. But he said, one day we had been in class, in school about 2 weeks. He said, when the recess bell rang, she called me to her desk. I'd say, viens voir. Tu parles pas anglais? You don't speak English? He'd say, no. She said, mais reste ici. During recess, et Madame Lafleur va continuer pour help and explain to you dans le français et anglais. And I'm going to teach you to go from French to English. So he said, every day at recess, I'd go meet her. She'd get her coffee, and we'd go through the books, and she'd translate. And Jim said, that's a wonderful thing. And he said, I just want to tell you, she made such a difference in my life. And he said, and her name was Mrs. Hazel Lafleur. And that was my mama, who died in 67. I started crying in the bathroom. I'm walking out, and Randy sees me and said, they were just talking about Mama. I said, yes, they were, you know. So what a great story. And, you know, and I don't know him. He doesn't know me, but he shared that, and I got the benefit of all of it.
Oh, well.
While we could have stayed at Fred's all morning, we had a festival to go to. Thanks to KVPI, we were able to hit the road and keep the tunes rolling. Chico State Park, where Le Grand Hurrah was taking place, is located just outside of Ville Platte, the largest town in Evangeline Parish. Ville Platte holds the title of smoked meat capital of the world. Since we were driving through town anyway, we thought we'd make a quick pit stop at Paul's Meat Market and Grocery, where many of the locals buy their meat.
Hi, I'm Tammy Fontenot here at Paul's Meat Market in Ville Platte, Louisiana.
Hi, I'm Paul Fontenot, owner of Paul's Meat Market and Grocery in Ville Platte.
I'm Silas Fontenot, and I'm Paul and Tammy's son.
What's the meat of your business, sir?
The meat?
The one we like the best, which you sell most of.
Mainly the smoked meat. You know, we smoke everything from the tip of the tail to the tip of the nose. And they put it in red beans, gumbos. Everything here is gravies and sauce pecans. Then over the years, we've kind of evolved and gotten into more specialty stuff like boneless chickens and turduckins and all that pre-seasoned stuff, because as times change, people want to grab and go. They're not too much into preparing anymore, so they like a lot of things ready to go.
Would you take us on a little tour of your operation and talk to us about maybe some of your unique products?
This is our smoked meat section. We have smoked pure pork sausage, which goes in gumbo, beans. You can just boil it and put it on a bun with Jack Miller's barbecue sauce. We have pork tasso, which is just smoked pork, smoked turkey wings, turkey necks, pork neck bones, ham hocks, pigtails, oxtails, rabbits, smoked fryers, bacon, smoked ribs.
I've never seen a smoked whole rabbit before.
Yeah, there it is.
Is that commonplace here?
Not really, but we had a customer that came in one day and asked for some, so we started smoking them, and then they just kept picking them up.
I bet that makes a killer gumbo.
Yes.
So great. Where do you want us to go next?
Let's go to the smokehouse.
Okay.
You gotta smell the smoke.
I can smell the smoke.
This is my part.
The smoke house.
What sort of wood do you use?
We use a mixture between red oak and hickory.
And I don't see a thermostat anywhere.
Nope.
You're just doing this instinctually?
This by the eye.
Incredible. I guess one of the amazing things about this is an old-fashioned thing that even in modern times, there's not too much modernizing this process, is there?
Not really.
It's just the smoke and the meat.
And some seasoning.
That's it.
And a little bit of love.
How many you got in there?
We have probably about 800 pounds of stuff hanging between everything.
How much sausage do you make a year, if you had to estimate, in pounds? I guess you get into tons.
Sausage is about 3,000 pounds a month, so we're looking at about 36,000 pounds a year of sausage.
That's a lot of people buying it, too.
That's a lot of meat. Well, it's understandable, and I certainly see why people come from such a distance to frequent Paul's Meat Market. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next stop, Chico State Park.
Some need is wine and I tell them I love her, the love is love. Oh, Wally Jagger, leave me belly, belly to love me. Please don't you belly see, I'm happy, see, because you'll leave. But Judy Bug, I said, from my love, the love is love.
When we arrived at the park, Le Grand Hurrah was just getting underway. Hundreds of people milled about as musicians began setting up their instruments on stage. The smell of Paul Fontenot's smokehouse was still perfuming our clothes when we came across a Ville Platte resident in a booth sharing plates of barbecue doused with his family's patented product, Jack Miller's barbecue sauce, known as the barbecue sauce with a Cajun accent. I was finally beginning to understand why Ville Platte is the smoked meat capital of the world.
My name is Kermit Miller. My father was Jack Miller. We're in our third generation, son Christian, and grandchildren also work with us on occasion, fourth generation.
How did the business get started?
Actually, my dad was in the restaurant business. Started in 1941 in Ville Platte. He moved from Sunset, Louisiana, and he had worked in different restaurants in the Opelousas area. Came to Ville Platte and opened up the American Inn restaurant. Little hamburger joint, actually, with the idea of opening up a string of those things. Now, this is 1941, pre-everything. But then the war broke out, and he couldn't get all the things he needed, like ground beef. So he had to improvise. Well, all the people in the area, a lot of farmers, even the people who weren't farmers, even in town, folks had chickens in the backyard. So he would buy the chickens there and he would process them and he would barbecue chicken and sell that along with whatever he could get. And he developed a barbecue sauce to go along with that. And people over the years started asking him, well, I'd like a bottle of this stuff. So he would put up a few bottles on the shelf and then he would sell it under his restaurant license. But then in 1955, he decided to go on the market with it. So he closed off a section of his restaurant and turned it into a little factory. And he still had the restaurant going more as a little small cafe, but did lunches and things like that. And He set up shop in the old dining room section of the restaurant, and they'd cook in 6-gallon pots on the stove. We'd peel the onions, grind them up, put all the different, like 16 different ingredients. We'd mix it all up in the pots and stir the pots and let them cook and stir them constantly so it wouldn't stick. When it was ready, when it was cooked, the pots were taken and putting on a big stainless steel work table. Ladies had a dipper and a funnel, and they'd pour it into the bottle, screw a lid on by hand, put glue, a little rubber tip glue bottle around the perimeter of the label, put it on the bottle and put it in the box. And it went on like that for several years. Then the man got more than what he could handle. So in 1962, we closed the restaurant completely, and he turned his little 2,800 square foot building into a factory. And we fought over the years to be able to make enough product. And it started snowballing. Things were popping back then. And it stayed like that for a while. And then he started buying little pieces of equipment and operating it that way. Now we produce 500, 600, 700, 800 gallons a day, bottle it there, process it, put it in the warehouse. We ship to people in just about every state I know of and a couple of other countries. And, you know, it's just something local that people move away from this area they can't find, and there's a demand for it that way. So we ship it out to them, you know, as they order it.
What do you think makes Jack Miller's barbecue sauce so completely unique?
It's not a sweet sauce. It's not a hot sauce. It's got the onions in it, which makes it different. You can put this on a slice of bread and make a sandwich with it. You don't even need the meat. That's the easiest recipe that we have. And when they say, well, what kind of bread you want to use? Well, it doesn't matter what kind of bread. You know, you really can't cook, can you? You know? But the thing is, if you like it sweet, you can make it sweeter. It's a good base product. And it's good for barbecuing, too, by the way.
The first band to play was comprised of children under the age of 12. While enjoying the sounds of these Cajun youngsters, we were introduced to Robert Broussard, board president of Louisiana Folk Roots. His organization, along with Prairie Heritage Incorporated, were the folks who put on La Grande Hurrah.
My name is Robert Broussard. I'm the president of the board of Louisiana Folk Roots. And Baffle Week is a week-long intensive Cajun and Creole heritage event. And we bring in people from all across the country and the world who pay good money to come and learn from the master Cajun and Zydeco musicians. We teach them about food. We teach them about culture. We teach them about a lot of other things for a week. In fact, we have a lot of people who've moved here from faraway places like Minnesota and Seattle, and they're now residents of Louisiana because they love it, and their first taste of it was at Baffle Week. So this festival has been going on for the past 3 years. This year we decided that we would help partner with Prairie Heritage, which is the organization that puts on this festival, in anticipation of next year bringing Baffle Week back to Chico State Park. Dewey Baffle Cajun and Creole Heritage Week began in 2001. And it was the brainchild of Christine Baffle, who is Dewey Baffle's daughter. Dewey passed away, I think, in the late 90s. And it was just a method of, in her mind, of keeping the culture and the music alive and spreading it across the country. There are a lot of camps in other areas, like Ashokan in New York and Augusta in West Virginia, where all of our musicians would go to play and teach this music. So Christine had the very bright idea of saying, why do we have to go there? People should come to us.
Why is this so important to you? What is your personal involvement in this?
Well, that is a very good question. I don't play music. I wish I did. In fact, I've been sort of, you know, I'm culturally shamed by my brethren who are the masters of accordion and fiddle, like Blake Miller and all these other guys who are just fantastic at what they do, and they can pick up any instrument and play it. And so I've made a deal that I want to learn how to play. So it means a lot to me because the Cajun and Creole culture needs to not only survive but thrive. And we think we play a pretty large, but sometimes a small part in that.
Don't you feel like this culture is having a renaissance right now?
Yeah, I do. I think it's been having a renaissance for a long time. We now have schools that teach Cajun and Creole music. For instance, Brazos Huval in Brobridge, Louisiana has a school. And he teaches, and he's got a faculty of musicians who teach children how to play the music, and adults also, but mainly children. And we have a kids camp that we put on in June. And we have 50 kids every year who come to our kids camp. And they come back every year. And then now we're doing a teenager camp. So it is definitely thriving. It's reviving. It's been reviving since the 80s, but it's thriving now. I want you to meet Winky. Do you know Winky Okwe?
No, I never have met him.
Winky Okwe is the brains behind this operation.
Mon nom est Gilbert Okwe. Mon petit nom est Clin d'œil. My name is Gilbert Okwe, and my little name, or my nickname, is Winky. I'm of French Acadian descent. I'm from Ville Platte, Evangeline Parish, Louisiana. I'm married to a woman from a suburb of Mamou. My wife got me involved in this. We have two sons, Jean-Jacques and Louis Okwe, and they play the music. And we have a group called T Salé, Little Salty. My two grandchildren, ages 9 and 6, are performing as we speak. I have a 9-year-old fiddler and a 6-year-old drummer. So we're very active in it. We feel that Evangeline Parish, in particular Chico State Park, is the center of the universe. We think it's le paradis du monde, and we think we have something to offer here that you can find nowhere else.
As Winky's two grandchildren performed on stage, he urged us over to see and hear the Cajun Renaissance in action.
Allons.
Allons, allons.
Allons.
As the young musicians made their way off of the stage, Winky took the microphone, and suddenly it was time for me to go to work. I was there, after all, to do a Kala cooking demonstration.
If I could have your attention for just a minute, silence, s'il vous plaît, silence. I have an announcement. They're making the Kalas. To my right, there's a tourism tent. As I understand it, is a rice fritter. And it's an old New Orleans Creole thing. Please go see it.
What was that Winky Okwe just described as an old New Orleans Creole thing? Stay tuned, and we'll answer that question and teach you how to make kala when we come right back. Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Zatarain's, and from French Market Coffee. French Market Coffee's premium blended beans are locally roasted in small batches, creating a coffee that can only be called New Orleans bold. Here's this week's culinary quiz question, brought to you with support from Popeye's Louisiana Culinary Institute. What was that Winky Okwe just described as an old New Orleans Creole thing? Kala. Those hot rice cakes that are making a resurgence in popularity after almost becoming extinct here in New Orleans. Hot Rice Kellogg came to New Orleans from West Africa, where still today you can find women making them in open-air markets. When they came to New Orleans with the enslaved rice-growing peoples, they even kept their African name, which is Kellogg, C-A-L-A-S. I first learned about Kellogg from my Creole cooking teacher, Leon Soniat. But once I began to research their story, I was so captivated that I set out to try and bring them back into the mainstream. You see, Kellogg, different from beignets, were never sold from a stand in the French market. They were sold in the streets by women who kept them warm in baskets as they called out, Kellogg, Kellogg, belle Kellogg tu show, madame, belle Kellogg tu show. The Kellogg vendors could be found on the streets of New Orleans till just after World War II. After that, unless your grandma or your mama made Kellogg at home, you were unlikely to come into contact with them. Luckily, Kellogg are making a comeback in the 21st century, where you'll often find them savory style on restaurant menus, like Brightston's, where Frank serves shrimp Kellogg alongside his delectable shrimp remoulade. But up in rice-growing country, they'd never heard of Kellogg before. I was invited to demonstrate how to make them and give everybody a taste at Le Grand Hurrah. The Cajun folks loved them, and now you can even find them on the breakfast menu at the Crazy Cajun Cafe in beautiful downtown Mamou. Kellogg are simple to make. It's just a mixture of cooked rice, flour, sugar, eggs, baking powder, and vanilla, combined into a thick batter that's fried by the tablespoon in hot oil before being served with a sprinkling of powdered sugar. You can find my Kellogg recipe on my website, poppytooker.com. So next time you have some leftover rice in the fridge, surprise the family with some hot rice Kellogg for breakfast. I'm Poppy Tooker, and hot rice Kellogg are real Louisiana eats. While I was serving Kellogg to some new fans, producer Joe Schreiner ventured out onto the festival grounds to meet some of the locals who were hard at work cooking up Cajun dishes. The smell of spice and pig fat filled the air as three men in apron and baseball caps gathered around a black pot.
Chester Granger, cooking cracklings.
Kevin Veillon, watching Chester cook cracklings.
How long y'all been cooking?
This is my fifth year, and Chester's been cooking all his life. We were the Evangeline Parish Police Juror. We cook cracklings to donate to the festival and the Mamou Cajun Music Festival. So we got all the Cajun fixings right here, gumbo and cracklings.
Can't get no better.
We keep the doctors in order right there. They keep them busy. So as you can smell, it's probably about halfway through.
It don't seem like it, but the weather affects the cooking of it. The higher the moisture level, the harder it is to get it to cook right.
My name is Eric Swallow, and I work at T-Boy's Slaughterhouse in Mamou, which is a meat market, and sell from one end of the animal to the other. We make some of everything, but crackling is one of our big staples. We were raised in that. When I was a little boy, we had the old-time boucheries. We did a few calves, but it was mostly hogs. Every winter, we did three or four hogs. And we'd do it with my dad, my uncles, my grandpa. So it was just a thing that I got hooked on years ago. Me and my old grandma, because I wasn't old enough to do a lot of the other stuff, our job was to clean the intestines to make boudin sausage. So me and her did that. And then I would help my old grandpa, because I wanted to learn. He'd do what we call hog head cheese. And so that's some memories I'll never forget. It's pretty neat. I wish they were still around to show that, you know, all the stuff we do to promote it nowadays, but they've been going for years. But it's something I'll remember forever.
Then, a man by the name of Larry LaFleur approached the mic, eager to share his story of growing up on the Cajun Prairie, emphasizing the importance of hard work and tradition.
See what we're doing right here? We done all this right here when I was a kid.
Yeah?
For real, not for sure.
Could you introduce yourself?
My name's Larry LaFleur, but I was raised on a horse farm. We had quarter horses. And we had a boucherie every 2 weeks for the neighborhood. Everybody take turns, and they'd bring that stuff, you know, and a pig or whatever it was, and we'd do a boucherie, and they'd separate the meat. I was at towards Grand Prairie. It would be on the east side of Ville Platte, you know. And my grandfather had race horses. His name was Black Fusilier, and he had quarter horses. And once a month, they had some races there, and they'd barbecue. And he had a little saloon. They'd drink barbecue and cut up and race it, you know. Sometimes they'd fight. But that's the good old days, you know. I was raised picking cotton in the field and all that. We'd go swimming. You know where our swimming pool was at? In a rice canal. Yeah. The water just as clear as could be. That many moons ago, I'm 73 years old, you know. I'm cooking some couvillon tonight in a black pot on the fire right there. It's going to be a big black pot. I'll be there at about 4 o'clock. I have a big black pot, and we have the Napa store in Ville Platte, and I cook just about every Thursday. Black pot, ducks, wild pig. I killed 3 pigs 3 weeks ago, 3 wild pigs. We hunt them with dogs. Fish, I just come back from the river, caught over 100 pounds of spotted cat. That's what we cook it. Just come back from the river. So we have the tradition. And my grandkids, they know how to do it. They do the same thing that we do. But my grandmother didn't speak no hardly no English. And I was raised with the blacks. All they talk is French. C'est comme ça, je parle français. Je parle français beaucoup bien. And that's why I picked up my second language, you know. Working hard, baby, and that was my life, you know. Oh, Lord. You know, we worked hard, no education, but worked hard. I struggled in life cutting trees and making money. 7 days a week, we went trench. Our motto was work hard and don't complain. You know, don't complain. Don't ask me when you're knocking off. Work hard, make money. That was our philosophy, you know. Yeah. Let me go see what's going on at Dirty Inn. Nice right. Talking to you, my friend.
I'll see you when we do that.
We'll be right here. Just have my boy making a fricassee. And he loves to cook too, and we're bringing our little gang, our little wife's coming, and I'm cooking on the braise. Got a little thing going on.
I'll be here for that.
C'est bon.
Standing beside a black pot filled with hundreds of cracklings, two men took turns stirring, occasionally wiping the sweat from their brows.
Hot! Well, we doing good.
I'm Joe Demorale.
And I'm Phil Miller, Lonesome Pie, Louisiana. In my hometown.
And we're cooking cracklings, pork bellies, and cut them in little pieces and put them in the pot. And as it cooks down, the fat makes the grease. So basically all you put is the meat in there and everything does its own thing. You just have to keep stirring.
Good, baby.
This year we're here to volunteer and help, and I have the job of stirrer.
And I'm assistant stirrer.
Lead. This is Toby Ryder. He's our leader of our crew. What do you think? Making progress?
It's looking good, man. Oh, yeah.
Toby Ryder is an expert in the art of boucherie and had been at the festival since dawn. He had an afternoon and evening of work ahead of him still.
Yeah, my name's Toby Ryder, and I'm from Opelousas, Louisiana. I got a call from Mr. Winky to come over and cook a backbone stew, some boudin, and some crackling. We do a couple of boucheries. Actually, we do 4 boucheries a year. with a group from Lafayette that are in some Cajun bands. So Winky heard about us and said, come on down and cook something for us. So that's what we're doing here. We started with the whole hog at about 9 o'clock this morning. We broke it all down. We chose what we were going to use for boudin, chose what we were going to use for backbone stew, and cut up the belly for crackling. So that's how we got rolling. You missed the pig. I've been doing boucheries now since I'm a kid. I'm 43 right now. My family did it all my life. So it's something that I grew up doing, and I want to continue to do it to teach this younger generation that's coming up just the Cajun way of life, you know, how to respect your food, understand where your food comes from, that it doesn't come from a package in a store, that, you know, a life has to be given for us to eat. And it's been really well receptive with this new generation of people that's coming up, you know. They seem interested in the culture, interested in the old ways of doing things, and I'm really excited about it, actually. I live in Brobridge. I'm from Opelousas. But right now in Lafayette, they just, I'm saying, I don't know if it's a derogatory term, but they have a hipster movement in Lafayette. It's, you know, a lot of people talk about it in a derogatory way, but I really think it's really cool because these young people are really interested in where they came from and the way things were done in the past. And I think that it's going to actually help to keep our Cajun way of life alive, because honestly, my generation, Generation X, I feel they kind of dropped the ball when it came to culture. You know, it was that my generation, from my point of view, was more into music and partying, and, you know, and this new generation, I'm not saying that they're not into that, but they are interested in the old way of doing things, you know. And I just see a resurgence of the Cajun culture in Lafayette and around the state. I think you can go anywhere in the United States right now with this new hipster movement, and it's revitalizing a bunch of old ways of doing things. So I'm excited about it. I really am. I'm 43. I felt like I was born a little too early, maybe. But it's a good thing to be able to teach these younger people what's going on and how things are done, how things used to be done.
That was some good time in Mamouche, Air. I'm so glad y'all all got to come along and pass that good time with us. Next year's Le Grand Hurrah is April 20th through the 26th. So reserve your Chico State Park cabin now, or give our friend Valerie a call at the Hotel Kazan. And please, tell him Poppy sent you. I'll see you there. Au revoir, grand mamou. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Join us next week when we'll have a visit from Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, NPR's Kitchen Sisters.
I think food just flowed through absolutely every interview. I mean, food really warms up the conversation. I mean, if you find yourself lagging and you find someone uncomfortable or stiff, just start asking some questions about what they had for breakfast, and you'll be amazed to where the conversation goes.
Have you missed an episode of Louisiana Eats? Hear today's show or catch up on previous editions anytime online at itsneworleans.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and take us with you wherever you go. If you love Louisiana Eats, let others know and help like-minded Louisiana food lovers find our show by leaving a review on iTunes. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Zatarain's, French Market Coffee, and Rouse's Markets. Additional support for Louisiana Eats is provided by the Shreveport-Bossier Convention and Tourist Bureau and from Dickie Brennan Steakhouse, a local New Orleans steakhouse serving prime beef in New Orleans French Quarter. Original theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. Big thanks to producers Joe Schreiner, Sarah Holtz, and Reggie Morris. Come visit us anytime in our Louisiana Eats studios at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Don't forget to find our recipes and see what we're up to at poppytooker.com. You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. I'm Poppy Tooker. Louisiana Eats is a production of Poppy Tooker Broadcasting.